All right, it's getting exciting now. Tiltum and Hatzad, I think this is our fifth Tiltum and Hatzad shir, I don't know. And tonight we are making a fundamental distinction as to the definition of Tiltum and Hatzad. Until now, we have talked about radishes, we've talked about loaves of bread, we've talked about figs, and then last week we talked about a dead body. And we found a problem, because it would seem like the Gemaras later on, the 123 and the 141, those Gemaras talk about what seems like the leniency of Tiltum and Hatzad. It's something that you're allowed to do, right? You're allowed to, as that Mishnah said, you're allowed to shake off the straw off the bed so you can sleep there. You're allowed to pull out the fig from the ground and allow the dirt to fall over. That's Chaviva. Welcome, Chaviva. Oh. No, that's Aviva. This is Chaviva. Fig straw, the radish in the ground, the fig in the ground, the bread in the ground, or the bread in the coals, I think it was. Oh, yeah, straw also. Correct. The fig in the straw, the bread in the coals. Yeah. The radish in the dirt, and the person in the bed. And then last week we talked about the corpse in the bed. You missed that one. Well, that was the important one. It's also the one we're going to review in 1 second, so you're in luck. Yay. So when it came to the later ones, the radish, the bread, and the person in the bed, the radish, the bread, and the person in the bed. Sounds like a kid's nursery rhyme. Roll over, there you go. So in those cases, it was a leniency. It was a leniency that we are allowed to move this or that for the sake of, because it's only Tiltum and Hatzad. And we talked about how to understand it within Rashi. What are the distinctions of Rashi about shaking versus moving, picking up versus allowing it to fall on its own. We talked about the distinctions there. But long story short, we said Tiltum and Hatzad, lo shmei tiltul. Over there we said that moving things indirectly is not considered movement, and therefore it's okay on Shabbos. You're allowed to move it because it's not really moving. Then, last week, we introduced a Gemara on Shabbos, daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara went like this. So you can see it actually ironically on the top of your paper. It's at the bottom of Men Gimel Amud Beis. Instead of, you know, schlepping the six Gemaras and allowing you to look at it, so I gave it to you here. I also have other sources on the back. I wanted to fit more sources, but we'll have to get to those sources later. But this is the bottom of Shabbos Men Gimel Amud Beis. The way that you know it's the bottom, by the way, just a couple of tricks, not that this is ever really going to come up, is whenever the Gemara, that you can see the Gemara, it tails off wider lines, so you know that's the bottom of the page. Here you see Tosfos is underneath the Gemara words. Tosfos is never underneath the Gemara words unless it's the bottom of the page.
It also gives you the first word of the next page.
It also tells you, it has that little marker, that the word E that goes over to the next page. Yeah, that's a little safer trick for those who are lazy, you know, pulling the page over. Not lazy, they want to make the most of every moment. So they say the word E as they turn the page. So you already know what the next word is. It also helps to make sure that you got all the pages, because if you don't have the next word, you could go on to the next page and you might have missed a folio in between, whatever. So you know what the next word is supposed to be. English books don't do that. Probably be helpful to just keep the flow, but okay. The Gemara says like this. If you look at the top of the Gemara lines, the second to last word on the line is Itmar. Itmar. Let's go through this Gemara again. Itmar, meis hamutel b'chama. You have a dead body on Shabbos. The top. There you go. Second to last word on the line on the top. Itmar. I cut the Gemara to only that spot where you really need it, so we don't have to look too far. Itmar, meis hamutel b'chama. The deceased body, the corpse, which is now sitting in the sun, the chama. It's getting hot. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, "Hofcho mimita lemita." What does he say? You can roll it over from one bed to the other. What's the benefit of rolling it from one bed to the other? In terms of halacha hilchos mitzvah, you're not touching the body. Okay, let's zoom out from the literal thing that's going on, because I know it's hard to imagine and hard to envision, but let's just zoom out for a second. You're moving the corpse from one bed to the other bed. That's according to Shmuel. However, Rav Chanina bar Shlamia Mishmei deRav Amar. Right, we have a quote from Rav. Rav and Shmuel oftentimes disagreed with each other, so it's not such a crazy thought to think that Rav disagrees. Rav Amar Meiniach Alav Kikar Otinok Umetaltalo. Aviva hasn't seen this one yet. She's laughing. We saw this last week. So yeah. Kikar Otinok, what do? You put a loaf of bread or a baby on the corpse, and that allows you to take it. Now, typically, we don't allow you to do this lechatchila, right? If you've got your laptop in the middle of the floor and you want to move it, so putting a baby on top of it is not going to help, because that's not something that we typically allow you to do. You can't cause a basis l'davar aso davar mutter. Maybe for a davar ha'aved, maybe, I don't know. Here, we're doing this because of some kind of leniency, that we are allowing you to put a kikar otinok, a piece of bread, or a baby on the body, so that it allows you to do what? To directly move it. We're not talking about moving it from bed to bed. We are picking up the body, and we're taking it where we want it to go. And we're doing so because of the Kikar Otinok, which allows us to do that. I don't know if people are familiar with this. Ricky told me that when she learned Hilchos Shabbos, when she learned Hilchos Shabbos in Hannah Sachs, she learned, you know, those garbage cans that pull out. People are familiar with those? You know, like the fancy ones. The rich people have them. You know, they roll out on these rollers and whatever. So my in-laws have one of those. And technically, it's a really, really interesting kasha whether you are allowed to move that on Shabbos. Because it's all garbage. What are you doing with garbage? It's a basis of davar aser. It's all muktzah stuff.
So she puts a
tinok
in there and
she's good? So they used to, that's where they put the babies. No. So the eitza that she was given in school was to put a can of tuna there. Put a can of tuna at the bottom of the drawer. Oh. It never affects the actual bin or the garbage can. So, but the can of tuna allows you to move the thing. It's not a basas davar asar davar. Now it's a basas davar asar ilu davar amutter. So therefore, it's okay. The tuna is much more useful than the garbage. Either way, the similar thing going on here. We're doing this retroactively, so it's less ideal, but we're putting the baby or the bread on the corpse so that we can move the body. That's what's going on. So we have this machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What is the implication of Rav and Shmuel? Shmuel said that you got to do this indirect movement thing. What does Rav say? What would Rav say about the indirect movement thing? Moving it from bed to bed.
You don't have to do that.
You don't have to, or you shouldn't do it. Yeah. You shouldn't do it. Because maybe he holds, as we'll see, tiltul min hatzad is actual tiltul, right? So we're talking about a corpse in the sun, but what we're really talking about is a machlokas tiltul min hatzad. Is it mutter or is it aser? Is it considered tiltul? Is it aser? Or is it mutter and it's not considered tiltul? That's what we're talking about. Yes, Rita. Yes, the baby would become tummy. If it's a Kohen, so you shouldn't do it. Yes. So let's keep reading. We'll read that inside here. Not the tuma thing. Heicha de'iga kikarotino kuli amalo pligi deshari. When there's a baby or a piece of bread, everyone agrees that it's okay. Everyone agrees. Even Shmuel would say, yeah, you could do that for sure. When is there a machlokas? Ki pligi. We already translated all these words, so hopefully you remember them from last week. Keep ligi. Delay slay. When there is not bread or baby around. Mar savar. Tiltum in atzad. Shmei tiltul. Rav holds that tiltum in atzad, indirectly passing the corpse from one bed to another bed, that's real tiltul. And therefore, you cannot do it. However, Umar Savar Lo Shmei Tiltul, Shmuel, who says you can move the body from one bed to the other bed, hold that indirect movement is not tiltul, Lo Shmei Tiltul, and therefore he says you're allowed to do it. So what we really have here is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about tiltul min hatzad. Now we're going to propose Lema Ketanai. What is Lema Ketanai? Remember? Let us say it is in accordance with... It's a machlokas of the Tanayim. Very good. Kitanai. Kitanai. It's like the machlokas Tanayim. What machlokas Tanayim? Another unfortunate situation, but another one that's on the margins that allows us to define the halacha. Ein matzilin es hames mipnei atzlika. You're not allowed to save the corpse from a fire. From a fire on Shabbos. Okay, why not? Amar of Yehuda ben Lakish, Shemati, Shematzilinus Hameis Mimtei Adleika. Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, I heard that you're allowed to save the dead body from the fire. So what gives? What's the difference? So Hechidami, says the Gemara, Eid Ika Kikarotinok, if there is bread or baby around, so my time is Hanakama. Why would the first opinion say you're not allowed to save the body? Right? We had just said that everyone agrees if you have a baby or baby and bread that you'd be allowed to move it. So what's the reason of the Tanna Kamma says you would not be allowed to save the body from the fire? The Tanna Kamma is just the first opinion that says ein matzilin.
Oh.
Right? Lamika Tanai ein matzilin es hames mim
dadlika. That's the Tanna Kamma. Oh, because it was Rabbi Yehuda who was quoting.
Rabbi Yehuda is responding. Rabbi Yehuda. No. This is talking about the Tana of the Tanai, of the Brisa we just started. Ein Matzilin is a new Brisa. So it's talking about the first Tana and this most recent Brisa. Ein Matzilin es Hameis is a Tana Kama. The person who says you can't save the corpse from the fire, that's a Tana Kama. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish is the one who says, he's the second Tana.
Oh, so he's not the same Rabbi Yehuda.
No, different Rabbi Yehuda, for sure, different Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. So hechidami iti ikar kikotinok my time at the Tana Kamma. If there's bread or baby around in this fire, so then what's the reasoning for the first opinion? Idaleka, and if there is no baby or bread, so my time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Why would Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish ever allow you to save the dead body if there's no kikarotinok to justify it? Elalav, rather betiltul min hatzad pligi. Maybe this brisa also this time. Through Tanaim, not Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel are Amoraim. But this Brisa is Tanaim. There's the Tana Kamma, and then there's Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Maybe they are also arguing about Tiltul min Hatzad, right? And as we explained last week, the importance of finding Tanaim that we can hang our hats on is that we don't need to argue about it anymore. If there's a Tana that believes that, you can just rely on the Tana. So if we could make this Brisa exactly the same machlokas, if we could interpret it that way, if there's no other way to interpret it, so then very good. Rav and Shmuel don't have to fight this one out. They can just say, okay, Rav holds, right as we see here, Elalav betiltul min hatzad pligi, demar savar tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul, right? The Tana Kamma who says you can't save the body from the fire, says it's tiltul min hatzad, even to use a bed, from one bed to another, and therefore, you're not allowed to do it. It's still tiltul min hatzad. It's shmei tiltul. That would be in like what Rav says. Umar Savar and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish believes lo shmei tiltul. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, who says you can save the body from the fire, he says that it's not real tiltul. So let us say that this machlokas Rav and Shmuel is just simply a reiteration of the machlokas Tanaim that we have about the body in the fire. Says the Gemara, lo. Not going to work. Not going to take it. We're not going to assume that this Machlokas Tanaim is the same as Rav and Shmuel. Dekule Alma, why won't it work? Why is it not a justified interpretation of the dead body in the fire being the same Tiltul min Hatzad Machlokas? Because Dekule Alma, Tiltul min Hatzad, Shmei Tiltul. Everyone agrees that indirect movement is real movement. Everyone agrees that tiltul min hatzad is aser. That's not even debated. Everyone agrees about that point. Tiltul min hatzad is aser. So Aviv is looking at me strange because we already learned the Gemara's in Kuf Chav Gimel and Kuf Mem Aleph that the tiltul min hatzad is mutter. And that's how we paskind. That's going to be every single Rishon's question. So we introduced the question last week. We haven't gotten to the answer. We're just reviewing it here. Everyone agrees that kuli ama tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. Everyone agrees that indirect movement is real movement and it's aser. So then why is it Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish allows you allows you to move the body out of the fire for a completely different reason, an independent justification. Behind time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, the reason is because demitoch she'adam bahul al meso, because a person is so overwhelmed by the deceased body, by the dead body, ilo sharislei, if we didn't allow him to take the body out, so we've got bigger problems. He's going to come to put out the fire. If we don't allow him to put out, if we don't allow him to take the body out, which is an isser, what? What kind of isser is that? Only midrabanan of muktzah. And even that, it might not be asr if we have this carve out, because the rabbis make the rules. If it's in isser midrabanan, so maybe they say when it comes to dead bodies, you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. We're not going to go there right now, but the point is that we would rather you take the body out than put out the fire. So here, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish has a huge chiddush. It's a really big chiddush. That even though usually this act that we are allowing you to do is usr, absolutely usr, tiltum and atzad is usr, in this case we'll allow it because we don't want you to play the fire. Yeah, Dina?
So we believe that, but we don't pre-make that body, right? So is there any correct kind of consideration there about this is going to be like pre-making the body because we need to get there?
I wonder. I mean, that's certainly the concern.
That's what's going to happen if you're going to use the fire to burn the body.
Well, no, it's not certainly going to happen. That is the concern of what's going to happen. You're worried that that's going to happen, and therefore you want to take out the body. It might not happen, but yeah, you're right. It could happen. Definitely could happen. I wonder. It's an interesting question.
Do you consider it all the fact that, okay, you have this dead body, presumably they passed away on Shabbos, because otherwise why would you have a dead body laying around?
And therefore what?
Well, no, so, I mean, because we're talking about like how things stood at the opposite of Shabbat. Like, this was...
Dead bodies are muktzah no matter when they die.
On your candle tray as Shabbat.
Yeah.
Adding bread or the baby after...
That's a different thing. As I said, that's a unique leniency that we use, right, that
but
concept.
But people have some who died.
Yes. Look, today all of this is almost a moot point because you just ask a non-Jew to call the fire department, hopefully. Hopefully Ayin Harish never happened, but yeah. Yeah, Viva.
So, isn't there... a rule, or maybe it's later, that someone who is an Ovel is not chayav in mitzvos.
An Ovel is not chayav in mitzvos. An Onen, you mean?
An Onen.
Yeah, an Onen, yeah. So you're saying that this is possibly a family member.
Yeah.
So typically, when it comes to an Onen, you're only not chayav in positive mitzvos. You can't just go around murdering people because you're an onen, right? You can't just steal from people because you're an onen. You're still obligated in all negative mitzvahs. So this is presumably a negative mitzvah, but an interesting question, yeah. So the Gemara continues, or finishes off here, at the bottom source, which is really the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, that Amar Reb Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Reb Asi, Amar Reb Yochanan, Halacha, Kreb Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. What is that? That's really just teaching us the leniency of moving the dead body from a fire. That's all that's teaching us. That's not necessarily teaching us anything about tiltum and atzad. The Gemara makes it sound like nobody disagrees with that point.
Right.
Everyone agrees tiltum and atzad is usser. And why is it that the Tana Kama says you can't do it? Because of tiltum and atzad. And because he doesn't hold of the huge chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. Right? The Tana Kama who says, ein matzilin es hames, is the one who says, we're not worried you're going to put the fire out. Or even if we are worried, it's your problem, right? We're not going to help you with your problem that you might come to put out the fire. Either way, that's a machlokas. But everyone agrees, according to the end of the Gemara, right? The two dots always teaches you, that's the end. There's nothing else to say on this topic, right? The two dots teaches you that is the conclusive halacha. Tiltum and atzad, shmei tiltul, tiltum and atzad is actually usser. Our big question, therefore, is how in the world does this Gemara match up with the Gemaras we saw about the fig and the radish and the bread? So how do they line up? Beyond that question, and we'll see this in Tosos also, even if they didn't line up, at least bring it up, right? Even if they are at odds, how could the Gemara not even bring it up? They're so clearly at odds, you would expect the Gemara would bring it up. And in fact, if you remember the Gemaras on Kuf Chagim, Kuf Mem Aleph, they quote each other. Right? Those Gemaras say, hey, what about that Mishnah about the straw on the bed, right? Remember that? in the commenting on the bread case, it said, "What about that mission about the straw on the bed?" So so why didn't they do the same thing here? And you can't say, "Oh well, they haven't gotten to it yet." No, it doesn't work. In the Gemara, they've gotten to all of it already, right? In the Gemara, especially Tanayim and Amorayim, they already have all the Mishnah at their fingertips, right? They know all the Mishnahs. And they know almost all of the discussions about the Mishnahs. So for them to not bring it up, there's got to be a good reason, right?
Not to bring up
the radish case that we've been talking about, right? It's at such clear and obvious contradiction to this Gemara, there's got to be something that's preventing it from being brought in. But that's exactly Tosus' question. If you look at the top half of the page, but the bottom of the top half, you'll see the bottom Tosus was there, Dikuli Alma. Dalid Chaf Ayin Dikuli Alma. So again, just a little review from last week. Let's read through this. Dikuli Alma Tiltu Minatzad Shmei Tiltu. Nir El Ri. It seems to the Ri. Dechen Halacha. That seems to be the actual Halacha. Meaning this is not just this Gemara, but there's a different Gemara that says otherwise. No, this seems to be the Gemara. The Gemara never even makes any other qualifications. Techein halacha, why? Midelo ka'amar, it doesn't say, Dekule ama lo shmei tiltul, uchagon deleka kikaratinok. It doesn't say that it's not tiltul, and there's no baby, ve'ein lo elamita achas, and they only have one bed, so they can't do tiltul min atzad. Meaning they do not establish the Gemara with other, they could have said it that way also, right? They could have said, I'm going to leave that out. It's a little in the weeds in the methodology, but the Gemara could have gone in one of two directions. It could have said, "Oh, we always believe Tiltum and Atzad is an Aser," or "Always Tiltum and Atzad is Mutzer," but this is a different case, right? In this case, they said, "No, Dekule Alma, everyone agrees Tiltum and Atzad is Aser," and this is a different case for Rabbi Huda ben Shmuel, Rabbi Huda ben Lakish. So says Tosfos, from there we learn that if this is the conclusive interpretation of that Brisa, that everyone agrees, tiltul min atzad shmei tiltul atzaser. V'tam d'Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish mitoch she'adam bahu. It doesn't say that. Ella mishum dehilchasa d'shmei tiltul nakat hachi. The reason why it never entertains a different interpretation is because this is the halacha. Right? This is actually a very important Gemara methodological point. Sometimes the biggest or most fundamental statements come not from what is said, but what's not said. The fact that the Gemara took this approach and only this approach means that the other approach is no good. Because oftentimes, very often, the Gemara will say, this is one answer. V'ibayis ema, or you could say, this is the answer. It doesn't say that here. It only gives one possibility. Dekule alma tiltum natzad shmei tiltul. Everyone agrees that indirect movement is usr. Okay? V'kasha luri. But then we've got a problem. Right, continuing in Tosos, three lines up. Bikashalari, Dibirish kol hakelim, because the Gemara in Kuf Chav Gimel says, Pasik, it seems to Pasik. Pasik means like it paskins. Pasik, Rev Nachman Krebi Elazar ben Tadai. Rev Nachman, who we had questions about, if you remember the Gemara, didn't Rev Nachman say this? Oh, he changed his mind, right? Remember? So Rev Nachman is the one that said, yeah, he actually does follow Krebi Elazar ben Tadai. He follows Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. De Kasavar lo shmei tiltul. It seems like over there, if Nachman paskins without any qualifiers, that tiltul min atzad lo shmei tiltul, that tiltul min atzad is mutter. It's not considered like movement. What's the aleph, the ayin kuf? Anyone know? The ode. Od kasha, v'od kasha. Another question. Derav adirav. We have a question of Rav on top of Rav. Rav is contradicting himself. Why? Dehacha savar shmei tiltul. Over here he says, right, if you look at the top of the page, right, we had said that it was Rav Chanina bar Shlamya mishmei derav, that you have to use the bread or baby. You can't use tiltul min atzad. Right? So Rav over here says tiltul min atzad is aser. Over there, however, not by Kuf Chav Gimel, but by the other one. Uvesov perek tolin, Kuf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, Amri Bei Rav, the Beis Medrash of Rav. They obviously follow Rav. Amri Bei Rav, Tiltul Min Hatzad Lo Shmei Tiltul. Over there, when it came to, I don't know which case that was, the radish maybe? When it came to the radish, so then he says Lo Shmei Tiltul over there. His students said Lo Shmei Tiltul, that it's mutter. So what gives? We have number one, the Gemara itself, which seems to Paskin, Rav Nachman Paskins, that Lo Shmei Tiltul, it's mutter. And we have Rav himself just contradicting himself, regardless of the maskana, regardless of the halacha, Rav himself is contradicting himself. Uvaduchta achrisi, and in another place, parech mi de Rav amri be Rav. Okay, this is also a nuanced implicit question Tosos is asking, right? Parech mi de Rav amri be Rav. Anyone know what that means? Parech means a response, like a pircha. No? I don't know if people know that word. Not to be confused with pircha, different word. Parech in Aramaic means to retort or to respond to. So parech midarav a imre beirav. In another place, it uses the statement of Rav to contradict a statement of Beirav, because implicitly Tosfos is asking or preempting. You say, wait, Tosfos. You just said there was a contradiction between Rav and Beirav. Those are not the same things. Rav is the person, Rav. Beirav, the people in his Beis Medrash. So a Talmud could have a different opinion than the Rebbe. Now, maybe it's not so common, but they could do that. Theoretically, that's possible. Says Tosfos, you can't say that. Because there's a question in other places where we contradict, we show a contradiction as a retort. We say parech mi derav a imre beirav. We use Rav's statements as a contradiction, as a question or an interrogation for something that Beirav said. Ube parech hashoel, ube parech beis kor matrich milse derav ude imre beirav. Right, it uses them interchangeably. That you can use the words of Rav and Beirav to say that they're the same opinion. So that's really what Tosfos is saying there.
Beirav is his students or later?
Be just means the base. It could be the students. It could be the base managers that he set up. I don't know.
I'm confused about the chronology of who was when.
That's not so important right now, but what? Rav is earlier. Rav is later. Rav and Shmuel are Amoraim.
And so, Rav Yehuda ben Lakish?
Is a Tana, that's a Brisa.
So, even after Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said, there's no question.
The Gemara interprets it that way. That statement is not from Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. That is the Gemara's explanation of that Brisa. Right, all Reb Yehuda Malakish said was Shamati Shematzilin Es Hames Mimdiadlika. Then the Gemara chimes in and says, "Well, what's the case here? If they've got a baby and bread, so what are they arguing about? Why would the Tanakhama ever say you can't do it?" Then the Gemara says that. Then the Gemara ultimately concludes, everyone agrees. You know, the Tanakhama and Reb Yehuda Ben Lakish agree that Tiltum and Atzad Shmei Tiltul, that is Aser. And they're really arguing about something else. Right? That's the Gemara, Amorayim, trying to interpret what the Tanaim are arguing about. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish never said Tiltul min Atzad Shmei Tiltul. That's never an explicit statement in the Tanaim. Right?
Oh.
Tosfos is now saying, how could the Gemara conclude so definitively here when it was definitively the other way over there? Right, the Gemara is now arguing with itself. The Amoraim are arguing with each other. Now, even the Amoraim are hundreds of years, span, not apart, but whatever it could be. Could be 100 years apart. But the point is that Tosfos is just trying to figure out why are these two Gemaras not even brought up together. Get it? Well, yeah? We're still going. We got to keep going. We're still going.
Okay.
It goes even over to the bottom here. Ve'od. So we've got two kashas so far. Number one is, it seems like we're passing the wrong conclusion. Over here, we're passing that it's Aser. Whereas over there in Kufchav Kim, we passing that it was Mutter. And number two is, Rav's contradicting himself. You forget about the halacha. Forget about the psak for a second. Rav seems to be contradicting. And don't tell me Rav and Bei Rav are different. We know they're the same from this place and that place and that place. Okay. So now third question. Va'od. And furthermore. Amai asar Rav hacha tiltu min atzad. Why would Rav even say here that tiltu min atzad is a problem to move the dead body? Oh, so we're at the bottom. Sorry, I don't know if people will cover what I just did there. We're moving down to the bottom here, to the left side of the bottom source on the top. Rav, amai asa Rav hacha tiltu min atzad, hatinan beperek notel. Don't we say on kuf mem beis amid beis, which is not kuf mem aleph? We have seen this, but not recently. Maos she'al gabe hakar. What was that case? The money, the coins on the pillow. What's the problem with that case? Okay, we had this whole question. Did you put it there before? Did you forget it there? And let's say we forgot it there. If you put it there on purpose, you're not allowed to move it. That's mukzah, right? That's what the Gemara said. Bustas lover us, or you can't move the pillow. But let's say you forgot it there. What did we say in the Gemara? We're going to have to see it. How do you move it? Shake it off. What would we call that? That's tiltu min atzad. And the Mishnah said explicitly you're allowed to do that. So why would Rav here say that it's usher? Coming back to Aviva's point, that's an explicit Mishnah. If the Mishnah says something, so you got to listen to the Mishnah. There's no one that disagrees in that Mishnah. That Mishnah was a Stam ruling that everyone agrees with. There is no other opinion there that said, oh no, you can't shake it off. No, that's what the Mishnah said, you can shake it off. So when why is Rav coming over here when the dead body in the heat and saying the only way you can move it is with the baby in the bread? Why isn't he allowing me to tiltu min atzad like Shmuel? Right? Perkanoto mos shal gabe hakar minaer es hakar vehein noflos. What was the other case? Ve'even shal piachavis. The rock on the barrel. What did we say there if it was forgotten there? Mata al tzida. You push it over or you lean it over and allow the rock to fall off. Umokiler Rav Hasam. And Rav is the one that establishes the case over there. I don't remember this, but Rav apparently is the one that told us that that's all a case of Umokila Rav Hasam Bishocheach. That was Rav's shtickle. That was Rav's interpretation over there. Rav was part of that conversation, right? So you can't come along and say, oh, well, maybe that was somebody else who said that. No. Rav was involved in that conversation, and he's the one that said you're allowed to shake off the coins if you forgot them there. He's the one that said that. Aval b'meniach, but what if it was placed there on purpose? Nasa basas l'davar ha'aser. It would be aser to do that, as we've said before. V'hacha, however, in our case, is a bishocheach case. What's shocheach?
Forgot.
The person's dead. Nobody put him there. Right, no one placed the dead body in the sun. It's clearly a case of shocheach. Now, I don't exactly know what it's talking about, but nobody put the person in this bed. Maybe that's what he's talking about. You should be able to shake the body off the bed just like you shake the coins off the pillow. Midashari Shmuel. Because Shmuel, everyone agrees that if the body was placed there on purpose, you would not be allowed to move the bed. Right? Because that's about the Rasser. If that body was placed there before Shabbos, we don't know how this dead body got there. We don't know if he died on Shabbos. We don't know if he died before Shabbos. Even if we were to concoct a case that the body was already deceased before Shabbos, and a person placed the body on that bed, that's meniach. And if it's meniach, nobody says you can move it. In a meniach case, that's Bastos Davar Aser. Okay? So then it must be that Shmuel, who allows you to shake the body off of the bed, it must be that it's a shocheach. It must be that it's at the very least it's forgotten there, or it wasn't placed there on purpose. Okay, so why is Rav here saying in a shocheach case, in a case where the body was placed there not purposefully, so why is Rav here saying you can't shake the body off the bed, whereas over there he said you could shake the coins off the pillow? We've got questions galore.
Yeah.
We better have a real good answer, right? This better have, we have a real quandary over here. V'chol davar shadato litlo b'shabbos, v'lo lahanicho kol ha-shabbos, afilu meniach chashiv k'shocheach. Okay, anything that you thought to yourself you're going to take it on Shabbos and not to keep it there all of Shabbos, even if you placed it there, it's like shocheach. Okay, meaning even if you put it there on Thursday with the intention to take it off on Shabbos and then you forgot to place it there, you forgot to take it out off before Shabbos, that's still considered shocheach, even though you placed it there on Thursday purposefully. That's all Tosfos is saying there. I mean, we can't compare them on a moral level. We're talking about with our halacha glasses. When we put our halacha glasses on, we don't see what's going on. We see categories. We see, you know, variables. They're both things that are muksa on top of things that aren't muksa.
And this is all very subjective.
What's subjective?
Well, you're saying he put it there, even if he put it there on Thursday intentionally, but he didn't intend.
Right, he didn't put it there intentionally indefinitely. Yeah, yeah, it's subjective to the extent that the person has to decide why he's putting things down in the first place, yeah. But, you know, Tosos is saying here, if you put it there with the intention of taking it away, that's a very specific intention. If you put it there indefinitely, that's a different question, right? That's like the rock on the top of the barrel. If that's your barrel stopper, that's your barrel weight, so then you can't move it because it's considered to be indefinite. If, however, you put it there with the intention, okay, I'm going to put it here for now, but on Shabbos I want to take this off so I can get some wine. So that's a different story. Okay, that's all Tosfos is saying here, that this is a tantamount to a shocheach case. Okay. Afil meinia chashiv kishocheach. Ki hahi. What is that, ki hahi? The word ki can mean a bunch of different things. What does it mean here? Ki hahi. Just like. Like over there, hahi, that case, diminar es hakisoy, where you are shaking off the cover. I think that's referring to the barrel case. Behem noflos, and they fall off. Maybe the stones. You might have been jumbling together the stones or the coins here. The key, the coins is not a kisoy case. That's why I'm wondering. Maybe that hay shed some more light, but I don't have a gemara in front of me to tell you. So af alpi. Even though you covered it on purpose with something which is not allowed to be moved, meaning the rock. Even the Rabbanan who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai is the Tiltum and Atzad question, right? That was Kuf Chav Kimmel. So even those Rabbanan who disagreed and said Tiltum and Atzad is Aser, even they would say it's okay in this case. Tahacha, Tahasharu Paga Shehitmina B'Tevin V'Charara Shehitmina B'Kachalim. Because they also allowed, the Rabbanan allowed, I think the Paga was the fig, no? The fig in the straw or the bread in the coals. Im Megula Miktsasa. Remember that?
Yeah.
If it was somewhat uncovered, they allowed it. If you stick something into it and pull it out, and with this whole question, wait a second, is it covered? Is it not covered? It's partially covered. Why does it make a difference? And we talked about shaking versus lifting or allowing things to fall off as opposed to picking them up. So even they allowed it. Uve Mechusa Kula Pligi. Only when it was completely covered did they disagree. Rabbi Elazar Shari. Afilu mechusa, kula. Rabbi Elazar allowed you to remove it even if it was fully covered. Detochav bekush o bekarkar. Okay, that's a long way of saying nobody seems to have disagreed with Tiltum and Atzad over there. Right? So why is it all of a sudden, this is first, but why is it over here, you know, all of a sudden we're saying Tiltum and Atzad is Aser? Over there, no one had any problem with that. There's plenty of Tiltum and Atzad to go around, you know, on Kuf Chav Gimel, Kuf Mem Aleph, and here, we're, and Kuf Mem Beis, right, with the coins on the pillow. So you ready for it? Here comes the biggest distinction of Tiltum and Atzad. When is Tiltum and Atzad allowed? When is it not allowed? The Omer Ri. First of all, does anyone want to try to take a crack at it? Any differences between the cases you can think of? On the one hand, we've got the dead body, which is the only time that we've said definitively Tiltum and Atzad is Aser L'Kuliyama. We've got the dead body, everyone agrees, you can't indirectly move it. And then you've got the bread, the radish, and the fig, where there was a machlokas. But we came out saying Tiltum and Atzad is Mutter. So any distinctions to be made? What?
Food and not food.
Interesting. Food, not food.
That's animate and inanimate, but
neither of them are really moving.
Neither.
Yeah, yeah. What?
The ones that are better food.
coins on the bed aren't food. What else is not food? No, the other cases that we haven't talked about in a few minutes. What was the first Mishnah we talked about? I think on Kuf Mem Aleph. It was the straw on the bed. That was the whole starting point. That was the conversation starter. So that's a tough one. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Wait, hold that thought. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. The riff says something along those lines, which is bewildering. The riff is bewildering. We had said maybe, depending on how the bed and straw were structured. If the bed was on top of the straw was on top of the bed. Either way, the pillow. So, anything else? Any other distinctions to be made? I want to ask you a question, but it's going to give away the Tosfos. Think about the desire in each case. What is your desired outcome in each case? Who said use space?
Well, if you, the coins on the pillow.
You want to use the pillow.
Yeah.
Good.
You want to use the bed. Right.
What else? Keep going.
The barrel, you want what's in the barrel.
Okay, you want to use the wine inside the barrel.
You want to eat the fig, you want to eat the bread.
What about the dead body? There's no permissible purpose to the dead body. You are effectively moving something for the usser thing. In all other cases that we've seen, when it comes to the straw, when it comes to the dirt on top of the radish, when it comes to the straw on top of the fig, when it comes to the coals on top of the bread, in all of those cases, we're trying to get to the mutter thing. We are trying to access something which is allowed, it is permissible. The dead body, we are acting on behalf of something which is usher to move.
Well, but the mushet, the bed is okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's the mushet.
Meaning we are doing, what are we moving?
The dead body.
What is the thing that we're in, that we are moving?
The dead body indirectly.
Right, it's always indirectly. We're always moving the usher thing indirectly. The question is, what is the purpose of moving that thing indirectly? When it comes to all the other cases that we've seen, the purpose of moving the usher thing is to use the mutter thing. We want to get that stuff out of the way so we can use the mutter thing. In this case, we are moving it out of the way because we want to move it. That's the thing that we want. This would be tantamount to, you know, it would be tantamount to pulling up the radish because we want to move the dirt. You can't move the dirt indirectly by using a radish. You can access the radish by allowing the dirt to move away indirectly. You can't move the straw off the bed because you want to go use the straw.
No, but you're using the bed.
Exactly. That's why it's okay.
Yeah.
But in the case of the dead body, we are moving the dead body in order to move the dead body. Not because there's... No, we're not using the bed. But you're not. Yeah, Chaviva.
But what if you were actually using the bed? Like, the most real-life example I could possibly think of is, like, let's say if there was, like, a hospice-type situation.
Yeah.
Or, like, a hospital, and, like, you actually need
the bed. You need the bed. So that's a different question. The Gemara, when the Gemara proposes the issue... So if you look at Rashi at least, so Rashi says, Ad Shemagia Letzel, which is you move the body until you get to a shaded place. So clearly the whole purpose is to move the body for the body's sake. If we're talking about like a hospital that needs beds, and that's why you're moving the body out, so that could be a different case. I'm not arguing with that. I don't know. Maybe you need to put it in a body bag and you need to use that bed for somebody else. I don't know. I can't tell you.
The first case, though, was the body in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
To get it out of the sun, and that's a real reason to want to have to move it.
No, it might be a good reason. It might be a good reason. It definitely might be a good reason. But you're still moving it for the purpose of the usher item, not the mutter item. So let's look at it in Tosos inside. The Omeri, after all these questions, The Omer Ri Diyesh Lechalik.
What is Ri?
Ri is a person's name. I don't know his actual name. It could be Rabbi Yitzchak. I don't believe it is Rashi's direct grandson because they all have some other names. The Rivam, the Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam. Those are all his direct grandsons. I wonder here if the Ri is a different person. It could be. I don't know. I know that the Rivam is Rav Yitzchak ben Meir. I'm pretty sure. And the Rabbeinu Tam is Rav Yaakov ben Meir. And the Rashbam is Rav Shmuel ben Meir. So the Ri, I think, is somebody else. There's a Ri Milo Neil, but that usually says it fully, Ri Milo Neil. There's a Ri Mi Paris that usually also says Ri Mi Paris. So I don't know who Ri Stam is.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I can look it up. Diyesh L'chalik, you can make a distinction between all these cases. Dehacha Ikar Hatiltul L'tzarech Meis. The main purpose, the Ikar, your main desire in this case is for the sake of the dead body. Velo dami lechol hanahu she'ose ikar hatiltul letzorech kar v'chavis. Velo letzorech maos. You're not doing it for the coins. You're doing it for the pillow. You're doing it for the barrel. Velo letzorech maos ve'even. Not for the coins or for the stone. You could. You could, but that wasn't what the Gemara talked about. You could very well. You could.
So it wasn't just for the dead body; it's for the people who are alive that have to experience this.
You'll cover the body.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Do something else.
As far as
yeah. That's taking off the tablecloth, but okay. That's taking off, putting on a new one. But okay, ulahachi, and therefore, because of this, lo maisi hacha pluksa d'Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai v'Rabbanan, which is the next words, it's not there. That's why in this situation, the Gemara doesn't even bring up the cases. Because we're talking about apples and oranges. They're similar, they're both fruit, right? No, they're similar. We're using the phrase tiltum and atzad in both cases, but they're completely different tiltum and atzads. This is the halachic phrase that's used in the poskim now. I'm going to present it to you as Tosfos sort of implies. There is tiltum in atzad l'tzorech davar ha'aser, indirect movement for the sake of something which is prohibited. And then there's tiltum in atzad l'tzorech davar ha'mutter. Then there's the indirect movement for the thing which is permissible. For the sake of the thing which is permissible. All the case of Kuf Chav Gimel, Kuf Mem Aleph, Kuf Mem Beis, those are all cases of tiltum and atzad l'tzorech davar ha'mutter. For the sake of that permissible thing. This is a case of the sake of the prohibited thing. The question, first of all, we have to do a few different things from here. We're not going to do them tonight. We have to see the back of this page. We'll see three different approaches besides Tosfos to understand this distinction. Some of them sound a lot like Tosfos, so we'll have to talk about that. But then we'll have to get into the mind of Tosfos and try to figure out why should that make such a difference. I mean, I get that there is a difference, but why should there be a difference? In both cases, you're moving the aser item indirectly. So it's either movement or it's not movement. Why does it matter why I'm doing it? What does it matter the subjectivity of it? Right? I'm still indirectly moving something which is prohibited. Regardless of what my purpose is, who cares what my purpose is? So Mr. Hashem, we'll have to get to that. I don't know if we'll get to that next week. This might be a few weeks just to understand this Tosfos. And as I mentioned before, this is a fundamental distinction of Tiltum and Atzad. You can no longer ask the question, is Tiltum and Atzad Aser or Mutter? You always have to say, what are you talking about? Is it Tiltum and Atzad Tavar Tavar Aser? Tiltum and Atzad Tavar Tavar Mutter? So we never again shall we ask the question, is Tiltum and Atzad Mutter or Aser? Because the question itself is lacking information. We need more information to answer that question. Okay, everyone should have a good night.
All right, thank you.